Oh God, one more podcast?
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Desi Standard Time, DST, coming at you. This is Maz Khan. I am one of your hosts. I have with me my revered, excellent, very handsome, and always stylish co-host, Maz Ali. How you doing, man?
Salutations. Doing good, man. Thank you for that very warm welcome. You're too kind. You're probably one of the nicest people. No one compliments me as well as you do. But good to see you, man. How you doing out there in your part of the world?
Yeah, I'm out in Dubai now. You know, I've yeah. changed location 3 times since we started recording this season. But that's the kind of commitment that I have for our listeners. You know, gotta make sure you give the people what they want. So I'm out in Dubai now. If you can tell, it's definitely daytime here. I know that Maz Ali is in a closet, so tough to tell. But it's definitely nighttime where he's at. But
nighttime here. Oh my God! As you can see, so keep that. We're keeping that for sure. But look, this was a DIY sound booth. Okay. This, I'm going to be moving soon, all right? So it just so happens that this is all supposed to be happening. This is supposed to be taking off, and I'm going to create some sort of other sound booth elsewhere. But, oh my, that was...
I like it.
We're good. I don't think...
A little bit of action to start off the episode never hurt.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a crazy times in California, you know? So we just got to keep our eyes and ears open and ready for anything. Damn.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
So today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite. I'm just going to skip right past
segue.
It.
You usually got a good segue where you're like,
Thank you for that wonderful anecdote. We're going to move right along. So today we're going to be talking about Shairi and Islamic and Urdu poetry. So I think that this is a very interesting topic, and it's something that a lot of people have an inkling about, or they maybe have experienced it. And I think that's a running theme in our Pakistani season, right, is that people have all these like influences from Pakistan, and they've come across it in so many different platforms and mediums, but they maybe sometimes don't realize just what the influence, where the influence came from and how Pakistani some of these things are. You know, like they've heard the artist, they've seen the actors, they've heard the stories, but they didn't realize that it came from Pakistan. So today we're going to break down how Islamic poetry really flourished and, you know, I think really came into its own in Pakistan in the form of Shairi and other types of poetry, written and spoken, and how that's really influenced media throughout the South Asian, media sphere throughout the world. So a little bit of background. There's a lot of different kinds of Islamic poetry, but really it started, you know, truly as a piece of religion. So a way for them, for people to commemorate, you know, their, and if you think about it, you know, Maz Ali, you can kind of expand on this. I think you're a little bit more knowledgeable on the subject, but Islam is a very spoken religion in terms of how you pray, and, you know, every child learns to read the Quran and, recite the Quran and memorize the Quran. And when you're praying, you recite very specific prayers. And it's a very written and spoken kind of religion. That's the way it's practiced. And I think that poetry was a really good way for people to express their love for God and their devotion, et cetera, et cetera. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The religion is definitely credits itself to a lot of, you know, extensive and very sophisticated like literacy, as is Urdu, right. Urdu, you know, with the Shairi and the poetry that is so prevalent in this language, you know, it was used to discuss and talk about, you know, one's relationship with God, you know, Sufism, mysticism, as well as having love for God and the Prophet and, you know, religion and whatnot. And a lot of the, you know, historically, a lot of these like religious thought leaders they had the Quran to refer to, these hadiths, but they would also just be so educated, and they would love to talk and create these like poems and poetry. And this has come from many, many languages, right? I mean, like Ghazali was one. I mean, he's Iraqi. That was at a time in the world where education was really, really revered upon. And you weren't really in anybody unless you knew how to do some poetry, until you knew how to, like, you know, spit some good poetic bars. And so
if you want to get laid back then, you had to be spitting some good stuff, man. You couldn't just walk up on a girl and be like, yo, let me take you out for some chai. You had to really work for it.
Yeah, man, you better woo. all these hopeless romantics, I mean, that stems from these people that just knew how to truly talk about, you know, what they're feeling and express their emotions. And to kind of touch upon that, and this kind of segues into a good direction, but, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, poetry came from many, many languages, right?
Right.
As did Urdu, right?
Right. I think that's like exactly the point, right? Like, I think that as we kind of delve into Urdu, it's important to understand where Urdu and where this poetry kind of came from. So it started off Islamically, and, you know, there was a lot of different languages that were covered under the Islamic Empire. You know, you had the Mughals who spoke their kind of dialects. You had the Persians. You had people from Turkey who were speaking Turkish. You had people from Punjab, you know, speaking their dialects. You had people speaking Hindi. I mean, Hindi is one of the oldest spoken languages in the world. So there was all these different, you know, cultures and whatnot speaking these languages. And then Mazli, how did that kind of feed into what eventually became known as Urdu?
Yeah, so essentially Hindi and Urdu was the same language, right? And it wasn't really differentiated. And then at some point in time, you know, during the 1850s, there was a bit of a split. And, you know, there was a lot of elements of other languages that was taken that was being taken from other languages into Urdu. So Urdu was taking a lot of these, you know, these, I guess you could say, aesthetically pleasing, like whatever words were very pleasing to one's ear, and these softer words from other languages. And this is also part of the reason why Urdu is considered to be such a good literate, you know, language for poetry, right? And there was a lot of, you know, I think the cool thing is too, is that they weren't really discriminatory towards the words' as origin. So they were kind of just kept the words for, you know, what they were and expanded upon. But, you know, around the 1850s, and Hindi wasn't even it was a thing, but it wasn't called Hindi. It was also called Hindi, as well as some other names as well. And, you know, there came to a point where they decided, okay, Hindi is going to be exclusively through Sanskrit, and we're going to keep Hindi for what it is. And, you know, there was an emphasis that, you know, Urdu is kind of becoming this very, like, Muslim-centric language. Right, so we want to keep... Hindus wanted to keep their words themselves, and then, like, you know, keep Urdu like as a Muslim thing. So that's kind of how that expanded. And, you know, Urdu comes from many, many languages, right? A little bit of Arabic, a little bit of, Farsi, you know, from the Persian Empire. I think,
you know, we see a lot of Persian influence in most of Urdu. So not just in Urdu, but like specifically in the poetry that we're going to come across, you're going to see a lot of these early poets being of Persian descent. They usually started off, you know, writing in Persian, and then kind of as Urdu became this very beautiful language that poets like to adopt, because they got basically the best parts of every language, right? They got to, they basically went to the cafeteria and picked all the good stuff, right?
It's
they
buffet, were
like,
yo, baby.
Let me get some of those cheese sticks. I'm gonna have a little bit of brownie, you know, throw a little pizza slice on here. We Gucci. And basically they came up with this beautiful language that now is, you know, Urdu. And okay, so this is interesting. This is very interesting to me, because I feel like people always ask me this. They're like, oh, like, what's the difference between Hindi and Urdu? And I think the common person couldn't tell you. Right? Mm-mm. They're just like, oh, they're the same thing. And they're absolutely not the same. Like, what I think most people think Hindi and Urdu both are is what we all kind of speak growing up, especially in America. And it's basically like Bollywood. Like, basically Bollywood has combined all these different terms into like it's just like a base layer that we can all kind of connect through. So yes, if you speak Hindi or Urdu, you're going to be able to understand each other completely. There's no kind of lack of communication there. But to give you an idea of the difference in the languages, right? Sanskrit and Sanskrit and Arabic letters are very, very different. Sounds are very, very different. And the tendencies are very, very different. So the word for dream in Hindi is sapna. But the word, same word in Urdu is khwab.
Khwab.
Those are two very, very different words, right? And so when people say that Hindi and Urdu are the same, I'm like, nah. You clearly don't know what real Hindi or real Urdu sounds like. You were just basing this off of what we all kind of grew up with, which is essentially just street. You know, it's basically just, you're just talking in the easiest way to communicate. If you watch like Shairi, for example, and we'll get to that. But if you watch like Shairi on TV and these poets are up on stage and they're like reading out poetry in Urdu, you have no idea what they're saying. I have no idea what they're saying. And I'm completely
fluent. No, I don't. And it's funny because we had this, you know, being, we're in a, you know, a diaspora in the United States, like a lot of our Urdu that we spoke at home, like the other way that we learned it and were able to retain it, is not just from learning from our parents, but also from watching a lot of Bollywood movies, right? And so there's always that overlap between Hindi and Urdu that we have, and it kind of comes out in our tongue a little bit. So a very pure Urdu is something else. And, you know, like to take from different languages, right? Like there's mahabba, right? Mahabba is, I believe, an Arabic word. And it's like one of the levels of like love when you're talking about love. And that's used obviously in the language, right? Muhabbat, right? Funny because there is a famous it's a famous Arabic song called Habibi Anur Alain, right? Mm-hmm. Oh dear, oh the light of my eye, Habibi, Habibi. And then I remember a Bollywood song that took the exact same beat of the Habibi song and changed it to Muhabbat, Muhabbat, Muhabbat. Right. So classic. Look at that influence. Look at that melting pot, man.
Classic, classic Bollywood move.
You can call
man.
It melting pot. You can call it melting pot. Yeah, if you want.
Yep, yep. But that's because it basically, you know, I think this is a good segue. So we moved into this kind of realm of Urdu poetry, and it didn't stick to just religion anymore. So I think you brought up a really good point that, you know, it kind of started moving into the love and these other different facets. And that's really what it's become. Like Urdu, there's so many different forms of poetry that we can call Urdu poetry. You know, there's ghazals, which is basically couplets that are sung. And this is made famous by a lot of different artists that we'll talk about in a little bit. And they have a very specific structure. So like, think about it as a sonnet. You know, sonnets have these couplets. It has to have a certain rhyme scheme. It has to have a certain structure. It has to be iambic pentameter. A ghazal is very similar to that in the in the ways that it has to be written and the way it has to be kind of structured. Then you have like naats, which are poetries that specifically praise the prophet. You have hamds, which are, you know, poems in the praise of Allah. So that's going back to the religious thing. Munkabats is poetry that's kind of more of the Sufi persuasion. So it's a little bit more mystic. And you have all these different kinds of, you know, things, even to the point where you're doing biography poetry. So similar to like the Iliad or the Odyssey coming from Greece. It's cool because I think that like what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, you grow up learning about like Greek mythology and these Greek authors and these Roman authors and Roman mythology. But no one really in America, at least, learns to my knowledge. I definitely didn't about like poets and the stories that they wrote out of India and Pakistan and really just the Fertile Crescent, right? Because there's so much that came from there and there's so many stories that are really, really important to the history of the world and they're kind of just lost and as far as the Western culture goes and people only in the East learn it.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't think that time is going to come back. There was a lot more emphasis in just reading and knowledge and literacy. So when that's essentially like the baseline, it's easy to kind of dive into and really appreciate poems and poetry. It's like, wow, someone was able to make and really depict his own feelings and emotions through those words and how it rhymed. And it's just beautiful, right? But I don't think that, and I'm one of these people, but I think it's just a generation that we have been brought up in and the times that we're living in, but it's just not really a thing. And so when we even read a poem or something, it's just not, it doesn't really hit. And, you know, unless you, but I mean, there's a lot of poets actually not nowadays that are trying to, but it's just for the common person. No, I think people are just ready to hear a beat. You know, what did 21 Savage produce today? Okay. Like what's TikTok producing, right? That's sort of, because immediately, like anytime we think of rhymes now, it's always has to do with like a song.
right?
And you're just going to turn on the radio and change the dial and see what else is out there. So it's just a different time, and it's a different time.
Yeah, and I think you're so right. Like, I feel like, and you know, the crazy thing to me about poetry is we're so used to thinking of it as like something that's rhyming or whatnot, but really prose is, you know, there's all these different ways that you can have poetry. And I think that, you know, we'll talk about this in a second, but I really do think that you're right. There's kind of this expectation that this generation kind of has, but true classic kind of Urdu and Islamic poetry has been very different throughout the years. And I really want to get into the different people who've influenced that and where we stand today. Mm-hmm. But first, let's take a quick break, listen to this week's South Asian Spotlight, and then we can come back and kind of keep expanding on this topic. So be right back. Cool.
Hello, hello, all you pretty little listeners out there. This is Maz Ali, and welcome to another edition of Desi Standard Time's South Asian Spotlight, where we sit down with South Asian business owners, and they tell us about their business, how they started, and how we can continue to support. Now, joining me today is an incredibly esteemed South Asian business owner, the one and only Maz Khan.
Well, that's right, baby. I'm here. Actually, I got some big news for you guys, so I figured I'd just be here in the flesh and do it myself.
All right, you are a juicy young man, so please, we do have big news. So why don't you go ahead and take us away, Maz Khan?
A juicy young man delivers some juicy news. So we're so excited to announce our sponsor for this episode. Basically, for the last few months, we've been noticing that one Sundar Pichai has been listening to our podcast, reached out to us. Lo and behold, baby, Alphabet Inc. coming on in, sponsoring DST. We made it, baby. We made it. We get sponsored by one of the biggest companies in the world.
Oh, my God. Hello. This is the American dream. Look, our parents came here and psych.
Almost had him.
No. Actually, we are here for serious news. So I'll just get right into it. How about that, Maz Khan? My wonderful co-host, Maz Khan, our wonderful and lovely producer, Anam Hussein.
Hello.
There she is.
What's up, girl? And I, Maz Ali, the three of us are co-authoring the forthcoming book, Bollywood for Dummies.
Hey.
That's right. So we're super excited to announce this. We've all been working really, really hard on this, but basically all three of us have decided to use the information that we've kind of dug up over the last couple of years while we're doing the podcast. Obviously, our engagement with you guys has taught us a lot about Bollywood as well. And we're compiling all that information in a book for you guys to be able to engage in and basically use as a reference. So pretty much anything you've ever wanted to know about Bollywood, we got you covered. And even if, you know, you do know stuff about Bollywood, I promise there's something in this book that you don't know about yet.
Yeah, you guys obviously know that these two know everything about Bollywood. I was not that person. I have learned a lot from them. And in this book, you'll learn everything you've never wanted to know. Every detail. If there's anything about Bollywood, I'm pretty sure like they are finding things wrong on Wikipedia as they're writing this book. So there's no better source for Bollywood information than Bollywood for Dummies.
Yeah. Well said. But like, you know, it's like Maz Khan said, it's great for casual fans, but also if you don't know anything about Bollywood. But if you are a casual fan and you want to figure out a couple of random facts, oh, it's in there. Ever wonder why Imran Hashmi was named the serial kisser? Boom, it's in there. Ever wonder why Priyanka Chopra likes only white men? It's in there. Boom. It's covered in the book.
We got it
literally
all.
Everything.
Yep. So look out for the book. It'll be on Amazon, easy access. Add it to your shopping list. Maybe it'll make a great gift this Christmas season. We coming at you. We making it available. We doing it for the people. Man, I think we made it, guys.
Call us doctors now. Here we go. Doctorates.
Scholars. Scholars.
Scholars. But yeah, keep paying attention. We love your guys' support. Keep listening and following us on Desi Standard Time everywhere across social media platforms and to get more updates on the forthcoming book. But until then, we love y'all.
Thank you, guys.
Nice.
One.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And before the break, we were just talking about Urdu and Urdu poetry and Islamic poetry and how all those things kind of came together. We really got into a discussion about the origins of Urdu and why it's such a great language for poetry specifically. But I think that, you know, we can take this a step further and really look at the people who made Urdu poetry, you know, very, very what it is today and what people kind of look back. And I think we've seen a resurgence, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I definitely see, I don't want to call them basic women, but I see a certain type of person on Instagram, you know, posting quotes. Hey, look, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it just seems to be a trend amongst a specific, a very specific population. My meathead bros are not out here posting about Rumi at all. So so let's start with Rumi.
Is like a candle longing to be lit, bro. Yeah.
My favorite is when people post pictures. So, I mean, look, if you do this, I'm not trying to offend you, but to me it's just funny. If you have a picture of like yourself eating like a sandwich and then you have like a Rumi quote, what? Yes. Like, what is the relevance? It doesn't make any sense to me. But
yes. Hey, or a straight ass shot, and then you're talking about how the heart is longing to be lit. Yeah. Talking about the heart or the hard is trying to is longing to be lit. Which talks?
Yeah. Thank God for Cardi B for providing someone else they can quote that's actually relevant to those kinds of pictures. I'd much rather see a caption that says "WAP" at this point than Rumi. If you're just shaking your ass on the
what
camera,
what is happening, dude? I don't. Yeah. I think I'm officially
shake like, your ass wherever you want. I'm just saying, maybe, you know, pick and choose your quotes for the caption a little bit better. Anyways, Rumi, I think we can start with him. He was a Persian poet. So, you know, it's often confused. You know, so a lot of people think he's Pakistani. Some people think that, you know, he was a little bit newer than he actually he's very, you know, he's from back in the day. I mean, this guy lived way, way back in the 13th century. So he's part of like when, you know, the Persian Empire was kind of going through its time. And he really was, I think, the biggest influence in terms of being a poet and really kind of pushing the Sufi and mystic approach through poetry, through spoken and written word. And that really popularized Islamic, Arab, and Persian ideals and kind of personified them and, you know, put them into the limelight. And because it was written, because it was spoken and passed down from generation to generation, you know, he has become that kind of like benchmark, I think, almost for future people. So think of him as almost like the Aristotle, right, of the Persian Empire. This is the guy that kind of had the thought processes and the eloquence to put it all down and influence people in the future. And remember, he was Persian. So when we saw the first kind of like advent of Urdu poetry, it was actually people who were also Persian, but then they crossed over into Urdu because of there's so much similarity between the two. I think Mirza Ghalib is a really good example of that. You know, he was an OG kind of towards the end of the 1800s, in the 1850s, 1860s, really when he saw his rise. And that was near the end of the Mughal Empire. And just like Mazali, you pointed out, right when the split between Urdu and Hindi kind of became apparent, and Urdu was a lot more accepted as kind of like a main primary language. And there you see, again, you see the prevalence of Persian language because he's another Persian poet on Urdu poetry. And then it slowly began to evolve from there.
Yeah, definitely. For one, I mean, like, yeah, Rumi definitely transcended Sufi thought, Sufi lifestyle outside of Islam. And made it like a very like mainstream thing. Yeah, absolutely. And then Mirza Ghalib as well. You know, it started becoming, because it was like, you know, Urdu being just too like Muslim or too whatnot. And like, you know, that's kind of like the Mongol influence as well, right? So kind of more so as we move along, actually, like I can't help but think of Allama Iqbal, right? He is known as a spiritual father of Pakistan, right? The poet of the East. He actually was another name of his as well. More of a modern era poet and more recent. And a lot of my friends, a lot of people, like our parents especially, are very largely influenced by him. And it's interesting because I do feel like, you know, we've talked about politics, or not politics, but we've talked about love and religion and stuff. But, you know, a lot of people, especially during that time where the partition happened between India and Pakistan, were also making work and poetry on the partition and what was happening, you know, in the world at that time, you know, about politics.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I think that one of the things that we touched upon in the crossover episode talking about Bollywood and Lollywood, it's not like there aren't other art forms that were also kind of divested because of the partition. And poetry was one of them. You know, there was poets who were living on both sides of what eventually became the border of Pakistan and India. And, you know, Allama Iqbal is definitely one that I think probably the most prominent one that ended up in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. But Urdu poetry was something that, you know, stayed on. And we're going to talk about this when we talk about, you know, how it's used today and really where we see it. But it stayed on in not just Pakistan, but also in India. And Urdu is a language, you know, it's not specific to any one region or place. And this is just going back to the whole conversation of India and Pakistan, you know, how partition really broke apart two peoples who are so very similar, pretty much in every way, except for just religion. And not even that, because, you know, India has almost as many.
So many Muslims in India.
At one point it had more than Pakistan. I really like Allama Iqbal. There's a really, you know, very little known fact, but I want to go back to something that you said earlier about how people who were poets around these times were also very influential. That was Allama Iqbal. You know, he was a politician in a lot of ways. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize it. And again, someone who might, you know, like find a quote from him, really like it, post it on their Instagram story, might not realize it. This guy was pretty much the reason why we have Pakistan today. You know, Muhammad Ali Jinnah was not the person who wanted to create a Pakistan. This guy was living in England. He was chilling in England. And it was Allama Iqbal who wrote him a letter asking him to come back to Pakistan because he felt that he could be the leader that Pakistan, that a separate Pakistan needed, the Muslim League needed, and not the leaders that were already there in India at the time. So, you know, he is a spiritual father of Pakistan. That's what most people call him. He's a poet. He's a philosopher. He's a politician. He's kind of wearing a lot of different hats. But you can kind of see how someone who, I mean, he's a poet first and foremost, and this guy has such an influence. It's actually created a country. Isn't that crazy?
That's insane. You know,
when people say that like poetry doesn't have an impact, let's point them to Allama Iqbal. My boy was doing the most.
Created that divide, man.
Straight up. People don't even realize that like Muhammad Ali Jinnah was like, he was in self-exile in London, didn't want to like really be involved. Allama Iqbal asked him to come back and then eventually persuaded him that a separate Pakistan was the right move. And then Jinnah, you know, went on to kind of perpetuate and further that ideal. So it's crazy. Okay, insane, so we've looked. It's crazy, right? And people just don't even know, like, have any idea what that is.
I never thought of it from actually that lens. That's just like, wow. Okay, cool. And it kind of goes back into, dude, this is why our parents are so. I mean, this is kind of where our influences kick in, but our influences of poetry and Shari, what we know of is these music parties, these weddings that we've gone to where our parents have, or our fathers most in particular, have gone up and be like, "Arz karta hu," and they've spoken and then spit their bars about the bride and groom or the bride. That's where we get it from. And our parents are so fond of that because it's like an ode to just knowledge and education, which is ultimately power, right?
Right. So warranted or unwarranted, an uncle always gets up at a wedding and recites some poetry, whether anyone wants to hear it or not, for sure.
Yes, no, definitely. That was, we had that a lot in our community as well. My dad was one. My dad used to sing very, very prevalently before. But he was always known as the guy that will, you know, drop them bars, you know, when we need them. You know, we need a little entertainment for the evening. In Thiasa, come here. My dad would, you know, get up. He's like, "I wrote this for the bride and groom, etc."
For me, it's always my mom. Really? And like, see, I wish it was almost like a more natural kind of thing where someone asked like your dad to get up and like recite some poetry and like he kind of has like an audience. My mom just like, I'll just be like walking around the house or something and she'll just recite like four lines, like two couplets. And I'm like, what?
That's so cute.
What was this? And I honestly, they're so profound and in such tough Urdu that I can't even remember what they are right now. But mm-hmm. I know that she's giving me a lot of these life lessons where she'll just recite like 4 to 8 lines of something. And I'll be like, I need you to translate that basically. Dumb it down for me. And then she'll give me the lesson, usually with a tappar, you know, just a slap, send me on my way. But, you know, you're right, though. I definitely remember like my parents, you know, my mom was a huge fan of Urdu poetry and, you know, she loved it in school. She studied it and, you know, she was the reason why I ended up watching a lot of Shayari. If you don't know what Shayari is, Shayari is kind of like the modern day take on Urdu poetry. It's often, you know, one to many men, women, whatever, on a stage. And it's exactly what you think like a poetry reading is like in the States, except it's just... it's more theatrical. It's almost like a spoken word kind of thing.
Sounds like a cipher. Yeah.
Mazali, tell us you started with like the Urz Kiyahe, right? But like they repeat themselves, right? Like tell us a little bit about how Shayari goes down kind of.
Wow. So the technical and the phonetics of, let's see, the structure of Shayari. Wow. That is a good question. I know that they may repeat the 3 lines. This is an interesting thing because this is how I feel like we're educated as well. I don't know if this is like a subcontinent thing, but have you ever noticed that when a teacher is trying to, like an Urdu or like Hindu, like whoever, like an Indian or Pakistani teacher is trying to give a lesson, they say, like, for example, they'll go, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = what? 4 = what? 4. Right. So they kind of do this repetition. And that kind of is in Shayari as well, right? So like, aaj maine par gaya tha. Aaj maine par gaya tha. And then people are like, okay, you're going outside. It's like, aaj maine par gaya tha newspaper lene. Ha 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 ha. Right. Obviously, that's not true at all. But like, you know, they usually do a repetition of like the first 3 and then they will, you know, finish it off with like they'll just stick in that dagger, twist it. People are just losing their minds.
The buildup is so crazy. Like, and you're exactly right. So they'll basically say the same line 3 to 4 times. I mean, sometimes you're just like, just get on with it. And I'll never understand it. But like, and because it's not like the first line isn't profound. Like what Mazali just said is, I went outside. And he said it 3 times. But it'll be something as simple as that. And then it'll like the second line will be like the kicker, like the climax, like, and I saw a beautiful woman. I don't know why I just did a Trump
you know, and I just saw a beautiful woman. I can't do
it. Could you imagine if Trump did Shayari just,
oh my God.
We will not let them take it. We will not let them take it. We will not let them take it.
And I've spoken some of the best Shayaris that, you know, we've ever even heard of. And it's like
it was beautiful. It was beautiful, Shayari. It's the best you've ever seen. Honestly, I did it myself. It was the best. I think we're onto something, man. I think we need to do some Trump Shayari.
I think the funnest memes and videos I saw of Trump were from the Auntie and Uncle WhatsApp group. But there's one between Hillary and Donald Trump at their presidential debate, and they take the mic and you see Trump just go, but the pyare
in a lot of ways he is like an old Pakistani uncle, like in a lot of ways he does follow those ideals. He just says just ludicrous stuff that doesn't make any sense half the time. He's appeasing a very specific audience.
And you know, like to expand a little bit more about like Shayaris and kind of like what we've seen, I mean, a lot of these Shayaris, like these go down at the music parties, right? So the music parties always consist of someone might bring out a tabla, like bring it out of their pocket. Someone has a harmonium in their back pocket. Someone will, and then they'll start improvising these like random instruments as well. So people will start singing. That's definitely one medium. But also, if you're not really a singer, shayari sunao,
that's such a poetry. And anyone can do that, right? Like if you just memorize any of these like old poems, or maybe you want to write one yourself. I think if you say a few, you'll kind of start learning the method and the structure and how to do it. You could do it. So it's a pretty, listen, all you losers out there that are looking for ways to get girls, this is a great way. Trust me when I say that every girl will love a guy who recites poetry at like a party or whatever. It sounds super lame when I say it out loud right now. I'm like second guessing myself, but I feel like it would work for sure.
Yeah. No, if you got a way with words, if you know how to articulate, you're already winning in life. Shout out to my boy, Abrar Kader, who did an awesome rendition of our Desi Standard Time theme song. He did his own Punjabi rap over our music and instrumental, but he's a really good, that guy really appreciates and loves his language of Punjabi, right?
Yeah, man.
And he does these raps, so this is his style, so he knows how to do like Punjabi poetry, super eloquent. If you actually read and understand what he's saying, it's insane, but he does it as a rap, and it's like the craziest just concoction to ever see just like happening and occurring in front of you. But I gotta give my boy some love, you know.
It's an awesome crossover. You already know Alam Iqbal was just swimming in that WAP, baby.
Yeah,
it is what it is. Can't believe I said that on camera. Moving on. So let's talk about what Urdu poetry is today, because, you know, like we're talking about Shairi, which is it's a very specific art, and it's a very specific audience and a very specific, you know, group of people that are listening and watching out for it. And what most people probably don't realize is they listen to Urdu poetry in the form of songs all the time through Bollywood and ghazals. So let's start with ghazals. I think there's some very famous artists that people have either heard of or have listened to, you know, very, very, very much. Jagjit Singh, Pankaj Udas, probably two of the most famous ghazal singers and writers. Ghulam Ali, Mehdi Hassan are two probably also very famous ones. But these guys are ghazals are basically poetry written in a very specific format and then sung. It's a very big tradition from Urdu poetry. It's, you know, it again arises from kind of Persian roots. And it's great to see people like Jagjit really make a name for themselves. And really, you know, they got famous not because they're like amazing singers. They are good singers. They're great singers. But their voices are so sad that people just gravitate toward them. Pankaj Udas. Udas literally means sad. His last name means sad.
Udas. I'm sad, Pankaj. Yes.
I am very sad, Pankaj ji. Yes.
Yeah, you're right. And yeah, it's like sometimes like you listen to this as a kid and you're just like, why are we listening? Like, I'm trying to be in a happy...
Like, who died today?
Right. Yeah, what the hell? Yeah.
But I love it. I mean, I'm such a sucker for sad, slow songs, man. And like,
oh, man. It's like, you know, you need it. It's like your emo song. This is emo stuff, you know? And this is, it speaks to the heart, tugs on the heartstrings. So, you know, there you
are. And if ghazals weren't your thing, then Bollywood is all about it too. Two of the most famous kind of lyricists and dialogue writers and people who kind of recite poetry are like Javed Akhtar and Gulzar. Yep. And both of these guys are very well versed in Urdu poetry. If you go back and look at the songs that they've written, I think my favorite example is Satya. That song, it was very famous, and Sonu Nigam did an amazing job singing it, but it's just straight up poetry. I mean, every single line is just a straight up poem. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. It's just all similes, metaphors, and it's like, again, celebrating this woman, but it's written in such a poetic way. And that's how you see most of, like, that's a song written by Gulzar. Go back and look at all the songs that Gulzar and Javed Akhtar have written. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his son did not fall far from the tree. Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara has, I believe, three or four poems in, I think it's mostly Urdu, written by Farhan Akhtar and performed on screen. And those were like some of my favorite parts of the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he definitely, he's got great, great musicality. Rock On was another one, which is, again, falls away from poetry and Shairi. But just kind of giving an ode to his, like, again, musicality. But absolutely, man. And the crossover into Bollywood, too. I remember just we would turn it up anytime there was a movie that had qawwalis in it, too. And we kind of touched upon this a little bit with the qawwali episode, too. But just, like, just the way they would give, like, historical context as well to explain how they're feeling about a girl or, like, you know, how they felt when they first saw her, right? They're giving just like all these like reference points. I think just like if you have like a knowledge to it too, and it kind of encourages you to like read upon that person, individual, who they were and who they're referring to, it just makes it that much sweeter, right? There's one in Zamane Godi Khana hai, but Pathar Laga Kab Kaise Ko Mashhoor Alam Ho Gaya Zakmi Hua Farhad To Duniya Mein Matam Ho Gaya, right? Like just all those references. Awesome. Just love it.
And oh God. I think that's
the thing. I can't even explain what that was, but I just love it.
But that's kind of the thing. It's almost like the Family Guy effect, right? Where the references are so like out there that you really have to do your research, and people are, I mean, let's face it, we're all a little bit lazy. But I think that, you know, the point of this episode really was to kind of bring this exposure to this idea that there's this beautiful art form out there that's prevalent not only in Pakistan, but all throughout the Indian subcontinent and beyond. I mean, obviously the Persian roots here are still retained. And if you go to Iran, I'm sure Iran was a huge cultural hub. It was so liberal for a long time. And that's why so much poetry and art came from that place. And I think that Pakistan is just a great melting pot, like you said, for all these different cultures coming together and giving us the best of all of them.
Absolutely, man.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, go look at Gulzar's lyrics. Go look at some old Shairi. Always go look at Rumi, Allama Iqbal, Mirza Ghalib. There's so many more that we didn't even get to touch on. But I think that Urdu poetry is it's a great way to kind of enter a different realm if you're looking for something interesting, especially during these difficult times where you can't really do much outdoors. Yeah. Here's something that you can do indoors and really get into. And I think you'll be surprised at how often you've seen it in movies and in pop culture and other things. And you'll know where it came from.
Absolutely, man. And I gotta say, you know, like I did not know how to do poetry, but ever since I met the love of my life, I started learning and knowing how to do poetry.
there's a really famous line from I don't know who, if it's Rumi or if it's someone else or Allama, I think it's maybe like Allama Iqbal or something, but it's like main shayar to nahi lekin jab se tumse mila hu shahiri likhne lagi likhne laga hu or something like that.
Is and that the actual, like, is that from?
There really is, yeah, there really is like a thing, and it basically it translates for the non-Urdu speakers. I am not a poet, but ever since I've met you, I've started writing poetry. That's basically what my boy over here is doing. On that note, Bobby, man, congrats on the wedding, on the nikah.
Thank you. Our producer, I'm Hussein.
I'm officially the haddi in this kebab for sure.
And you that pillow that we be hugging and you know, hugging from both sides, and you know, you're there for that support, you know. So I don't know where I'm going with this, but yeah, let's just say that if it didn't work out, this entire team and podcast would have been very awkward to deal with, but
luckily it did. Man. So here we are writing poetry. On that note, we're gonna leave you guys. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Obviously, subscribe, check out our Instagram page for updates. Let us know in the comments if we, you know, who your favorite poet is, what poetry you really like to. We're always looking for new stuff, so if you have some recommendations, we'll happily take them. And as always, you know, like, subscribe, follow, and we'll see you again soon.
Take it easy, y'all.
Bye.